go, the John Curley Sherry Elicker Show, starring Sherry Elicker. That's it.
Is that it?
Let us get the f***.
Curses a lot. Okay, let's see. We just talked about this. Aaron just did anyway. The man that went into that tavern in Tacoma and executed, words of the survivors of the family, described the actions of the man. I hadn't heard about this case, just read the details of it recently, and awful what this guy did. He's sentenced to life in prison in 1980, King County murderer. Could be up for parole. Dory's been talking about this. It is a really awful story when you read the details of what they did when they went in there. I can't figure out for the life of me why they decided to do the things that they do, tying people up, hanging the women, having them take their clothes off, and then executing the people that were in there. And then what you think to yourself, so brutal, so heartless, so obviously guilty of all of this, and then why would they be up for parole? This is another story that fits into the wheelhouse of your experience when it comes to the prison system. But what additional details am I missing in there, Sherry?
Well, he's eligible for parole because the laws, sentencing laws, changed back in 1984, and their sentences, the people that were involved in this, became eligible for review. So the eligible for release, there were several reasons, according to the state documents, including he was a low risk to reoffend, he had remained sober and out of trouble in prison, and he participated in support groups and therapy sessions. So they think that he is now going, I don't know about being an active member of society, but remember, when you're out on parole, you're not completely free. I mean, what that means is you are going to be monitored, and you have to go to a parole officer and do all of the things as part of your release. So he'll probably have to go to a halfway house or do some other, you know, types of things before he can be, you know, completely free. But the family is pushing back on this, and they think that because of the brutality of the crime, that should be factored into this, that because of what he did and two murders, that he should not have that privilege to be able to be released.
Dory Monson spoke with Kelly Tarp about her family and what they
went through. How did your mother survive the torture and triple murder?
She was hung along with Sherry from the bathroom stalls with the cords wrapped around her neck. And when they passed out, the cords loosened up enough to where she was able to untie herself. Both her and Sherry were naked, tied back to back with the cords wrapped around their necks in the bathroom stall. And she survived barely.
Right.
Yeah, and then she crawled from the bathroom, tried to find some clothes or something, and she found my dad and Robert and Linda.
And they'd been executed, just shot in the head, right?
Correct. Timothy Pauly could have walked out that tavern that night, and he didn't. He chose not to help my mom. Linda or Sherry, when he saw the condition that they were in, and he knows what happened to Linda, he opened up the cooler door and executed my father and Robert point blank. They were tied in the cooler. They posed him no harm, and he executed them.
Hear the pain in her voice. It's been since 1980. Her reaction, this is Kelly Tarp's reaction to the news.
What was your reaction?
Dory, we were devastated. They didn't even tell us. We received an email, and there's a victim's liaison that we met via Zoom, and she told us that whenever we questioned in terms of why, how did they come up with this decision, how is this possible, all we were told is the decision is there, that he's met the requirements and checking off a box in a class. But that's not true rehabilitation. That doesn't change the mindset and the person that he is and what he's capable of. We are fearful. When he walked out that night, we would have been orphans had my mom not survived.
The other thing is that a crime with all of these elements in it, why are you up for parole? I mean, I guess you're not sentenced for life. You're sentenced for life, I assume you don't come up for parole. Maybe you do at some point or something. But often someone will serve about two-thirds of their sentence, and then they become eligible for parole. Is it a way of sort of saying that, that we have, this person has redeemed themselves, they have been, sort of the restorative nature of jail has somehow fixed them, and now they're able to be free again? It would seem like those crimes, I guess you can't go back, but these crimes and these details of this crime, that these people would not be available for parole, not be up for parole, or likely to get it. And I guess she's saying that what he went to a couple of classes and did this and did that, and the parole board has the power to be able to release this person back out into society.
Well, I don't think he went to just a couple of classes. I think that over time, I mean, this is since 1980 or when he was sentenced in 1981. You know, they have to look at the his whole, you know, prison career, if you will. And so when they look over it and they see that he's a model prisoner, that he hasn't done anything to create problems there, that he's either taken classes or gone through, you know, whatever it is to become sober, all of the things that you have a plan when you get to prison. You meet with somebody and there's a plan that you go through. And the fact that he has accomplished all those things and done what he was supposed to do, sentencing laws say he has a right to go up against, you know, up in front of the parole board. The parole board has the discretion to say no, that the brutality of the crime was such that that man should never get out of prison. They didn't do that. So it's unlikely that the governor will overturn a parole board decision. It just probably won't happen. I'd say it's highly unlikely. I could be wrong. But what they're asking for now is they're saying at the very least, can they prevent him from living in Thurston County where they live, because it's just too traumatizing for them to have him in their area, you know, to see him in the store or you know, on the street somewhere, that would just be too horrible. I mean, the family, obviously, it's so devastating what they went through. And the thought that this man might encounter them another time, regardless of if he's, you know, safe or not, it doesn't matter. It's just that it's just horrible to think that you would run into someone who did that to your family.
Yeah. Moving on to the fact that the president has been using the term ultra MAGA.
My plan attacks inflation and grows the economy by lowering costs for working families, giving workers well-deserved raises, reducing the deficit by historic levels, and making big corporations and the very wealthiest Americans pay their fair share.
Here it comes.
The other path is the Ultra MAGA plan.
Ultra MAGA plan.
Put forward by congressional Republicans to raise taxes on working families, lower the income of American workers.
That was their plan. They came up with that. I got an idea. Let's raise taxes on everybody and lower everybody's income. Yeah!
Threaten sacred programs Americans count on, like Social Security.
Let's threaten sacred programs. All right, we're going full MAGA.
Medicare and Medicaid. And give break after break to big corporations and billionaires.
That sounds like a great plan. Jen Psaki was asked on her last day.
Who came up with this phrase ultra MAGA? Why the need to kick it up a notch? Well, MAGA wasn't enough. I mean, why now use
super ultra MAGA?
This phrase.
I will tell you, is the president's phrase, and the president made those comments himself just last week, as you know.
Okay. Did the president make up that phrase?
Absolutely not. For 6 months, a woke think tank has worked on this. It was the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and they were trying to come up with some sort of branding for the Republicans that would scare people. And they knew that MAGA represented the out of the mainstream, right? They figured ultra MAGA would be ultra out of the mainstream, ultra fringe, right? And so they came up with this. And no, he didn't do it. They were paid nobody knows how much money handsomely to work on this.
It has backfired because I look online. You can buy ultra MAGA hats and ultra MAGA t-shirts now, because that's part of the new thing, that you are not just MAGA, but ultra MAGA. So whatever they had spent on this thing to have these marketing consulting groups come up with this thing, it has not worked, because people are fully embracing super ultra MAGA. and really to be, you know, all in, because apparently if you're ultra MAGA, then you're all for raising taxes on middle class Americans, cutting people's salaries, getting rid of Medicaid, Medicare, reducing Social Security, letting the rich not pay their fair shares, and letting corporations get away, because that is a winning agenda for just about anybody. So there you go. That's the that is the latest attempt from the White House to try to tie inflation to Putin and inflation to who else are they blaming it on? Ultra MAGA? Somebody else's? It's somebody else's fault. I looked up to see. Inflation began at September 2019. The United States government spent more than it took in. It's been doing that for a while, but it really did a big number. It really started to jack those numbers up. And the GDP started to drop just a little bit. We kind of fell down at about 1.9, maybe 2% GDP. But then spending started to increase. And right about there, that's when you started things really started to take off. And then inflation kicks in a couple months later, way before Putin and way before Corona had killed anybody, because that's the two things that Biden likes to point to, Putin and the coronavirus. So both those things not a factor in this. This is a true example of you make too much money. You create too much money. You've got big problems that come along with it. But the good news is you have somebody like Vice President Kamala Harris explaining that if we all work together, then we'll all be working together.
Which is why we will work together and continue to work together.
That's two times.
To address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together.
Three.
As we continue to work
together. I swear to God, the word together is in there. But I think she looked at it and saw the word together and realized, I think I've said work together a lot. Because listen to this. She's got to kind of catch herself like she's about to read it.
To work, operate.
See the pause?
Yeah,
I think
he's
in there again. It would have been three. Okay.
From the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action.
There you go. I got it.
Does she not read this beforehand? Wouldn't you take a look at it and go, hey, guys, I've got five work togethers here. Can we rewrite this before I have to, you know, put it out there?
Yeah, can we work together on this thing? Because it seems like work together is coming up too often. I don't know whether it's she looked at it or maybe somebody in the office wants to submarine her. I don't know. But, I mean, how do you look? Who writes that thing and looks down? And what, did they have a bet back in the office? I'm going to write work together seven times. Let's see if she says it. You know, like I'm – what was the guy's name from Anchorman?
I don't know what you mean.
Put the question mark at the end of the thing. Come on, Jacob. What's the guy's name?
Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Burgundy? Yeah. Who put the question mark on the teleprompter? Right. She always sounds like me when I would. We were supposed to get confirmed. I was supposed to get confirmed in church, but we had moved to a new parish, to a new town, didn't get the regular confirmation. So the priest said, we will come to your house, have dinner, and then ask you the questions after dinner. So my brother and sister, of course, for weeks, hey, let's go upstairs and study confirmation. Let's get ready. Why did God make me? What is the sacrament? What is grace? You know, what is God's plans for me? These like 7 or 15 questions from the Baltimore Catechism, all at one. Why did God make me? Who is God? What is grace? And I didn't study. And I just said, you just throw a couple holy holies in there. You're okay. My mother said that at a certain point, while the priest was asking me the question, she said she just for a moment thought, I wish I had never given birth to him. It was so uncomfortable. He's like, and okay, Michael, what is a sacrament? A sacrament, Father. And my brother and sister looking at me like, yeah, a sacrament. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, Father, did you say something? Yeah, I was just asking what a sacrament was. Yeah, okay, Father, what is a sacrament? Well, Father, you know, a sacrament is, it's God's eternal light through the paraclete working within the Holy Spirit's power to create in our covenant with the archangels through the Spirit of Mary, the Virgin Mother, the grace of God.
Holy
and he goes, go on. He's like, in the, I mean, oh, my, and you go, hey, Charlie, why don't you give that one a try? Grace is an outward sign of God's love for me. I was like, whoa, wow, you shortened up what I had.
You couldn't copy what they did? Like, you couldn't make them go first? I have to go, you know, go to the bathroom and then listen through the door and then copy theirs?
And Sherry, we lived in a very large home. There would be no going to the bathroom.
Oh, sorry.
Listening in on some door near. What do you think? They were right the other side of the door? Were we living in a one-room flat, huh? With a hot pan, a hot plate or something? Your father in the corner, eating cold soup out of a can, picking it himself.
I didn't think that. I just wondered if there was a different strategy you could have followed.
I'm going to go into the bathroom and then listen as they answer the questions. Okay. Good plan.
Okay, I just thought.
I'm glad you weren't my
anything.
Sister. Okay, no.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad
okay.
you weren't my sister.
All right, okay. I'm sorry. I would have given you the answers. I would have if I
Then the priest asked, what was my confirmation name? I said, Zorro. And then he got mad. Then he got mad. Oh, my. All right. Nikki, your question is, what is a sacrament?
What is a sacrament?
Isn't Come on, that Catholic? Yes.
Yes. The sacrament is, isn't it the blood of Christ?
It's an outward sign.
Oh.
Never mind. Nope. Yeah. You know what? Why don't you go to the bathroom and listen through the door, all right?
Come
While
on,
I answer the question.
Here we go. Bucky's Bucky's Auto Service Centers. By the way, where's that jingle? We need to get that jingle back in play, Jacob.
Okay.
Our Bucky's Auto Service jingle. Bucky's been around for 16 years. They got 52 years have been around. They've been 16 locations. That's the place to go. I was trying to find that while I was talking at the same time. I don't know where that is. But who was it that came up with that?
Sean and Arlington.
Sean? Sean and Arlington. Just give you a little taste of this. Enjoy this one, Sherry. By the way, I'm going to ask you on the other side of this record to rate it for us.
Locations in the Puget Sound, where lots of service specials at Bucky's abound. They reward the frequent visitors checking around. So visit Bucky's Complete Auto Repair.
Don't you feel like putting up the rock and roll kind of horns when he hits that part of Bucky's? Don't you dive off the stage?
Huh? Yeah, I got a lighter. I just got a lighter in the air already.
Yeah. You know? I just threw myself off the counter onto the floor. Thanks, Sean. Bucky's Bucky's Auto Repair. All right. The Netflix has decided that it's going to tell people that work for them that if you've got a problem, if you find it hard to support our content, then Netflix may not be the place for you. So, like, if you don't like Coca-Cola, you might not want to work here. All right. If you don't like meat, then you don't want to work at a ranch, right? So, and then people are like, oh, I'm really upset. This is very upsetting to me. So what? Go somewhere else. Good for you, Netflix, standing up to the wokesters that work for you.
Yes, they said, we let viewers decide what's appropriate for them versus having Netflix censor specific artists or voices. This is part of their new culture guidelines, which they put out a little while ago. And they got about 1,000 people responding to that and giving them feedback about it. But Netflix is in trouble. You know, Netflix has lost a lot of subscribers, and they're doing everything they can to try to keep people and try to get more people to watch. So they're saying, hey, if you don't like it, don't work here anymore. Too bad.
Mm-hmm. Two things have happened. One, talk about the financing part of Netflix in a second. But the second one is a bunch of various corporations all got together about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they said, how do we avoid the mistakes that Disney has made? How do we not step in? How do we not get the people, the small percentage of individuals that are pushing us in a political direction that then we are left holding this flaming bag of dog crap like Disney did in Florida? And Netflix saw themselves going the same way. Other corporations all met at various times saying, okay, please, they were speaking to PR experts and damage control experts. How do we satisfy a few of the angry people that work for us and then also not find ourselves pushed into a slim, tiny minority of sort of that woke culture? And it seems Netflix is one of the first to come out saying, you know what? This is what we do. We have all sorts of different people that we put on our service and all sorts of different ideas. And if you don't like it, you can hit the high road. So long, goodbye, sayonara. I think this is great on their part. Now, they also have to start to do something on the financial side, which is they probably should stop producing as much stuff as they do. They throw so much out there. I've heard it said that you should not that everybody needs to watch everything that Netflix makes, but they should have the same feeling when it comes to like HBO. I've heard of the show. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I heard it's good. That's just as good as somebody watching it as far as the producers of this amount of content is concerned. Like Netflix just got rid of that thing they had for 2 years with Steve Carell, the was it Space Force or something like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing just sucked. First year, okay. Second year, nah. They just cut that one off. I think, was it HBO or who decided to get rid of that Meghan Markle thing?
That was Netflix. They had a $100,000 deal with them, $100 million deal with them. And she was supposed to produce this children's show about a little girl who meets all of these women along the way in history that have changed history for women. And it never really got developed. And so they finally just said, we're not doing this. And they have to cut these things back. They spent so much money trying to produce original programming and trying to get all of this content that they've lost a ton of money. So I would imagine they're going to cut back on that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting in that there's sort of two forces. One of them is you can have a bunch of people who are screaming and yelling politically, the wokesters on the far left. But then you have just the regular people that are deciding that they don't want to participate in whatever it is that you're pumping out there. And ultimately, the cash register rings faster than the Twitter ding. At least the cash register has more of an impact upon corporations like Netflix and Disney and others that decide, well, how do we feed that beast on the far left to keep them quiet? How do we satisfy them? And then how do we keep doing the thing we are doing? The answer is you can't. So they decide, cut loose Meghan Markle. Nobody wanted her show. They didn't like her show. So long to her. But boy, they caved. They certainly wrote big checks. Did she cash these checks? That her and her wimpy milquetoast husband, did they get some of that money?
Good question. I mean, they probably have some sort of I think it's called like a kill deal or something like that, where if they kill a project, you get a certain amount paid out, but you don't get the whole amount. I think they signed up for a $100 million deal with Netflix to develop multiple projects. That was one of them. That's gone. And, you know, how much money they're actually making from them. I don't get it with them because they don't seem popular enough for people to really want to watch whatever it is they produce. But I guess there's a certain segment of the population that still finds them fascinating, even though they're boring.
I don't get it. And the same thing with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's get those guys. They're going to produce lots of stuff. No, they bombed. They got rid of that, too. I don't know if Netflix had a piece of that. But people didn't care. Because, you know, there's enough people think, oh, you're great. You're great. But then are you going to sit down and listen to Michelle Obama and Barack Obama on a podcast? The answer was no. So they cut those things loose. Same thing with Meghan Markle. Ultimately, the marketplace and the crowd has the chance, like Caesar with the thumb up or down. And, you know, so long to that stuff. Dave Chappelle, is still doing what he does, and they're going to stick with him because they realize that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. Twitter and Facebook and a bunch of other tech companies have all decided that they're going to pull back on hiring. They're going to slow things down a little bit. They were throwing a bunch of money at it, but now it looks like these are the big guys that have decided, you know what, we're going to just sort of not hire as many or slow hiring for some of the companies. The executives say they are less prepared to tolerate sort of the growth and the costs that are going with all of it.
That's right. Twitter is freezing most hiring, and they're also thinking about possibly pulling back on some of the offers that they've already put out there. Amazon says that they're overstaffed at their warehouses, and Uber put out a statement saying they consider hiring a privilege, like you should consider it a privilege if they hire you. A lot of these companies just grew really, really fast during the pandemic because people, you know, needed Amazon, right? I mean, that grew a lot. Uber, all of these different companies that hired a lot of people now are finding that they don't really need, they've overextended themselves. Facebook also slowing their hiring.
Yeah. My nephew, the one that only hot dog buns for like the first 18 years of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my family, though, is never going to amount to anything. Eat your mung beans, millet, and porridge, kids, because you're really going to go places compared to your cousin over there. He got picked up as an intern. It was 3 years ago at Facebook, and they were paying him $160,000.
Wow. What does he do now?
He works for, I forget the name of the app. Some app out in Massachusetts, and he's, I don't even want to talk to you. It used to be a time, this is just goes to show you, Sherry, and you should compliment me prior to me complimenting myself, because it won't mean as much when I say it, but
okay.
I need you to say, you've really grown as a person.
Okay.
Can you say that now?
You know, John, I've noticed something. You have really grown as a person.
Oh, you're kind, Sherry. You're
so kind. I mean it.
No, because, thanks for giving me a hand. Giant hand.
That's the only kind I have.
Andrew. Thank you. When I used to hear about how much money somebody like that, 30, 40 years younger than me, it used to really bother me. Now I'm like, good for you. I can't quite get a smile in my voice. Good for you. Way to go. Congratulations on that money.
Well, it's got to help that he's your nephew and you want him to do well. Maybe not.
Not really. Good for you, all that money. You deserve it.
Yeah, all right.
Why don't you have another hot dog bun?
You've really grown as a person, John. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for noticing.
I mean that.
You are so sweet. You are so
okay.
sweet.
Okay, you are. You're
sweet.
Good.
Oh, you're kind.
Oh, ring, ring.
Yeah, ring, ring to you, too. All right. By the way, people listen to this show like, what the heck? Jacob, where's that glossary we need? So people can follow along at home. We need a laminated glossary for everybody. Should be placemats on their table. All righty, when I first saw this story, I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. We'll have lots of crazy stories about people doing gross things to food. But then as you learn more and more about this, the gross, disgusting human being that did this to Arby's milkshakes, the headline was what, that he urinated in the milkshake? You know what it was?
Yes. Yes, yeah. And the way they figured this out was he had been under investigation. They were investigating some child porn allegations. And when they had his phone, they had a search warrant for his phone. And when they looked at his phone,
okay, can we interrupt for 1 second? Jacob, can you make sure that that kid is okay and doesn't want the station changed? Go ahead, just check in with that kid at some point. So go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. So, yes, so child porn, urinating in milkshakes. Keep going, Sherry. This is a great story. Go ahead. Everybody's happy you're doing this. Go ahead.
They found a 16-second video that shows someone doing this into a bag of milkshake mix. And it
Mom, was, change the station!
Okay.
Scared
All
me.
Alrighty. Me too.
Oh, it was...
Ouch, Jake.
All right, so this is recorded back on October 30th. Okay, so last year. And at that time, they went back and tried to piece back together, you know, what had happened that day. And they found that they had sold at least one ice cream float and about 30 to 40 milkshakes. So he has admitted that he did do that into the milkshake bag at least twice. But he claims that he's almost sure that he threw the bag away. Mm-hmm. And he said that if he didn't throw the bag away, it would have been added to the mix with the other shift. There was a new shift and it would have been added into another mix and that, yes, it would have been served to people. So now the police are saying that if you have a receipt, right, from October 30th of 2021 for that contaminated milkshake, they want to see it.
Oh, it's a Burger King receipt. Sorry.
So close.
Oh, so close. Did anybody do it with the Burger King milkshake? Because I got that receipt. I like this guy. This is a Clark County Public Health Director, Dr. Alan Melnick. Says, there's no significant health risk to consuming a drink contaminated with urine. These are the same people like, you must wear a mask outside, even in the rain, right? But no, hey, go ahead. You're gonna have, doctors say you can have at least 15 of these milkshakes until the year. No, he didn't say that, but there's no health risk.
How could there not be health risk? How could there not be? I mean, just from the feeling nauseated when you hear about it, there's a health risk. I mean, just
I don't know. Those milkshakes are so unhealthy for you anyway. Just basically just tipping you over, right? Just one more horrible thing in there. When Rye worked at McDonald's, like, Rye, I don't need anything in there. I just like those milkshakes. He's like, Dad, I don't want to tell you. It's like, what? What is it? No. I'm like, oh, it's okay. I'm your dad. What? What? He's like, there's not a lot of real milk in there. It's a lot of, like, oils and things. I'm like, oh, uh-huh. That's okay. That's still okay. I still love them. I still love them. He's like, I don't know, Dad. You didn't want to love them. You know they're not. You know that's not real milk. I mean, you let it sit for, like, 6-7 weeks in your car. You know you do that? You eat half of
I know how you
Who's
do
with
that.
Me? Who's with that? Yeah, Jacob, know. You know what I mean? You order a big milkshake, you some of it, and then you forget it, and then it's in your console of your... Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
I drink it as quickly as I possibly can. It's a problem.
What's
okay,
a problem?
Now it's all about you?
Why? You asked me to contribute. I was happy to sit on my hands over here just thinking about drinking milkshakes, but you asked me to say something about them.
Why is that? Wait. You drink it as fast as you can? What are you... You're pledging for a sorority or something? What do you mean? What are you doing?
I know what you're talking about, John. I have kids. They put the milkshakes in the back seat. They don't drink them all. It's
right.
Nasty.
And then what happens? Then it doesn't turn into something that would be considered to be like milk again. It turns into this weird thing that Martians would enjoy. Yeah. Sherry, the next commercial might be McDonald's.
Well, I'm not saying McDonald's. I'm saying that some milkshakes have chemicals in them, like the one at Arby's that has urine in it.
What if there's an Arby's
That's
ad,
a chemical.
Though? Good point, Andrew.
You can get shakes at Arby's. I learned something new today.
Well,
good luck with that.
Well, look at Mickey putting a positive spin on the story. Well, there's something on the menu I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, well, they have the meats.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Don't get me started on that roast beef cheddar. Please. With the onion bun. Oh.